What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 264. In this episode, I'll discuss how a pharmacist can assess a critical care patient. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode264. Making assessments of critically ill patients can be challenging for pharmacists since traditional pharmacy training does not necessarily incorporate much about patient assessment. The process I have developed for assessing critically ill patients from a pharmacist's point of view involves, number one, determining why the patient is in the ICU, number two, determining how sick the patient is, and number three, looking at their medications last. There are three categories of reasons why a patient might be in an ICU. I want to make sure I identify the reason as early as possible in my assessment. Reason number one is a vital system has failed and we need to support it, something like respiratory failure or a need for vasopressor therapy. Reason number two, something has happened to the patient that makes it likely a vital system will fail, and we need to recognize and support it when that happens. For example, a patient who has TPA for stroke within the last 24 hours is at risk for intracranial hemorrhage, or a patient with an overdose of unknown substances may be watched for about 24 hours in an ICU, or perhaps a patient who's had a high-risk surgical procedure. And reason number three is when the patient is in the ICU, but they don't need to be there any longer. Sometimes an unnecessary ICU stay is rationalized because the patient is a VIP or a consultant physician wants to keep them one more day in the ICU, or there's some bed availability issue in the hospital. So the patient's no longer critically ill, but they are still in the ICU in these circumstances. Knowing why a patient is in the ICU is the beginning step in assessing how sick a patient is. Being able to assess how sick a patient is will be able to help us determine the optimal pharmacotherapy regimen to use to help the patient recover from their critical illness. For many medications, the degree of how sick a patient is will change the risk-benefit ratio of using that medication. For example, being able to identify whether an infection is moderate or severe is necessary to choose the best antibiotic and dose for a patient. And being able to identify how critical a patient's hypotension is helps us decide the best starting dose for vasopressor therapy. Here are some of the things that I look at when deciding how sick an ICU patient is. How does the patient look? Are they discolored, in distress, or unresponsive? How many systems are being supported? Are they on a ventilator? Are they on vasopressors? Do they need continuous renal replacement therapy? How intense is the support? What is the post-expiratory end pressure or the fraction of inspired oxygen? The vasopressor dose? The number of pressors being used? The number of consultants involved or the number of IV pumps in use? How successful is the support being? Is the MAP above 65? Is the tachycardia the patient had resolving? Are their O2 sats acceptable? Is their urine output trending in a positive direction? How is their fever curve doing? Is their mental status improving? What do their labs say? Are the second set of blood cultures negative? Is the white blood cell trending down? Is the creatinine trending down? The lactate normalizing? And how about the liver enzymes? I avoid looking at the medication profile until the last step in my patient assessment. I do this for two reasons. I want to develop my own pharmacy problem list and then compare it to the physician's. And looking at the medication profile first leads to unnecessary guessing about the patient's disease states. For example, if you see ceftriaxone azithromycin on a patient's profile, you might guess they have pneumonia. If you see furosemide, you might guess they have heart failure. But these guesses are often wrong and, if not corrected, can lead to missed opportunities to improve a patient's pharmacotherapy regimen. This method of guessing the patient's problems is left over from a time of paper charting when pharmacists were physically separated from the patient's medical record in the central pharmacy. But now, electronic charting and the decentralization of pharmacy services means the patient's problem list should be readily available to the pharmacist and guessing is no longer necessary. I found that my interventions became more meaningful and significant when I began looking at the medication list last, after reviewing notes, flow sheets, lab data, and home medication records. Here are some examples of problems that might not be recognized by looking at the meds first, but are obvious if you have already reviewed the rest of the record. Propofol alone as sedation might be okay for some patients, but if I know they just underwent a major surgery, the absence of fentanyl or another analgesic becomes clear. Determining the cause of a patient's agitation can be very time-consuming, but if I know they were on venlafaxine at home and haven't had it for 3 days, it's easier to narrow down the possible causes. Seeing oral vancomycin as an order doesn't necessarily mean anything, but knowing that the C. diff test was negative and the CT did not find colitis makes it immediately clear the vancomycin can be discontinued safely. Members of my Hospital Pharmacy Academy have access to my ICU Patient Assessment Masterclass, where I dive deeper into these topics. To get access, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.